Good morning, Tappers. How are we doing today? It is the Monday edition of the Daily Tap for May 7th. The topics are light, but we keep at it. I don't know if that is a motto, but we'll stick to it. It is a little bit of a light time here in Wisconsin. You know, the Bucks are eliminated. We don't have a lot of news on Bucks coaching stuff. I'm sure we will this week as it comes through. But there's not a ton going on there. We have the Brewers, who we're going to talk about and ask some questions. But there may be some more national stories, or we may talk TV. Like, we're going to talk about Billions and Westworld here at the end of this podcast. So, you know, different things. We're going to just kind of bounce around a little bit more than just your average three-sport thing. I like to keep it local, but sometimes my hand is forced, and I cannot actually keep it local because there isn't enough local topics to discuss. But like I said, I said this on the podcast yesterday, but if you're not a weekend listener, if you guys have suggestions, if you guys have things you think we should be talking about, I'd love to hear it. Feel free to hit me up, SnowTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, any of those channels. You get your question in and we'll definitely talk about it. If you guys want to hear about a certain player, certain thing going on in sports and life and music, pop culture, we'll talk about it unless we've already talked about it. If we've already talked about it, I'll point you to the podcast where we've had that discussion so you know you can go back and listen. But even if we did, maybe things have changed since the last time we've talked about it. So I already mentioned the social media feeds. Subscribe on SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, whatever your preference is. I would always appreciate it. So we're going to start with the Brewers today. I think after the series against the Pirates where the Brewers only had one home run, that was from Manny Pena on Friday, and home runs aren't the only thing, but the Brewers scored a grand total of 9 runs in two games. They got shut out in a third game, and it's not great. And the column this morning in the Journal was the Milwaukee Brewers offense is no-showing far too much. I completely agree with that statement, and I also wonder, are we sure that the Brewers are actually good? I don't know. I can't make it out right now. I don't want to overreact one weekend, but I kind of was hoping this weekend we would see the Brewers sort of separate themselves a little bit from the Pittsburgh Pirates. And to be honest, if I had a podcast on Friday, which we ended up not getting one in, I would have said, like, this is a good weekend for the Brewers to really establish themselves as one of the better teams in baseball. You don't have to be this juggernaut who sweeps teams and just runs through them. Like, the run the Yankees are on is absolutely incredible, but that's not what the Brewers need to do. They just need to look competent against good competition, and right now that's just not happening, and I'm trying to figure out why. And we mentioned some of the roster stuff. I do think that they're not having the support from the catcher, the shortstop position. I think Domingo Santana's struggles have killed them. So I think there's a few things. I mean, but Travis Shaw really hasn't had that good of a year. I mean, Travis Shaw has about a .230 average right now. He's been struggling at the plate. I think Craig Counsell's going to need to do some innovative things in the next couple weeks, see if he can get this offense going. I mean, we've seen the teams move their power hitter to the leadoff spot. You know, you saw it with Bryce Harper, you saw with Anthony Rizzo. I believe Joe Mauer's hitting leadoff right now. He's not necessarily a power hitter, but you get my point. Like, you know, you're just going to have to try some new things to see how you can get this offense sort of jump-started, because like we've mentioned a couple times, this schedule doesn't get easy. And I didn't realize this until I looked today, that tomorrow and Wednesday, the Brewers face Carlos Carrasco and Corey Kluber. Kluber tomorrow, Carrasco on Wednesday. So that's great. I mean, Carrasco is beatable. Kluber, I guess you can get to if he has one of those nights where he falls apart, but Kluber can also strike out 15 batters. So it might be a reason to go to the ballpark on Tuesday night to go see Kluber pitch, because it's not going to be often you get a chance to see Kluber pitch. Probably would be a pretty cheap ticket as well. So those games, I won't say are like a must wins for Milwaukee. It would be nice to split two, but you could expect a sweep. And if that does happen, then the Brewers would lose 4 of 5 at home before heading out on a West Coast / Minnesota swing. And that might not be a good thing. I mean, Brewers are in a bunched up Central. The Cardinals keep winning on walk-off home runs against a bad Cubs bullpen. Luke Farrell, I have to think, is not a Cubs pitcher this afternoon. But, you know, it's not good. I mean, it's not. The Brewers need to keep winning. And there's just a lot there where you're like, I don't know where you can rely on this team or where you can feel good right now. The offense has been so volatile. The starting pitching now has been a little questionable with starts from Guerra and Chase Anderson. Zach Davies isn't going to make his start. That's going to probably be, whether it be Brent Suter. I would love to see it be Corbin Burns, but I think Corbin Burns just had a start yesterday, struck out 16 batters, so maybe not Burns. But the Brewers have some talent in the minor leagues, and you just have to ask yourself, when is the time to see if that young talent should be up here contributing to the team? You look at what a guy like Domingo German did yesterday for the New York Yankees. I hate to go back to the Yankees, but best team in baseball right now, if you were to ask me. And German steps in, strikes out 9 batters, no hits the Indians for 6 innings, and he was ready for the big stage. And so I think David Stearns tends to be a little more cautious about his guys, but the Brewers, I think, need to be field the best team possible. And if the best team possible means Burns up in the big leagues pitching for this roster, then you got to do it. Then you have to have Burns up here, and you have to have, you know, the best possible team going. And I think they made the move with Oliver Drake with that in mind. Now they have to make the same move with a guy like Eric Sogard, because I didn't realize, I said some stuff about Eric Sogard yesterday, you can go back and listen, but I didn't realize that he's hitting a grand total of 100 this year. He can't be starting. He can't be on a big league roster right now. Sogard has to at least either DFA and then clear waivers and send him back down just to get his swing back or something, because this is hovering on Keon Broxton territory last year. And the Brewers were a little lenient on Keon, I think, because they didn't necessarily have, I think, aspirations to be a playoff team. So they gave him a little more time. This team doesn't have the time to let Eric Sogard work through this. It's admirable that they tried to do that over the weekend, but you don't know. It might have cost this team. You know, I think taking the bat out of Jonathan Villar, I get what they were trying to do, but you have to wonder if they hurt the team. And I kind of get what the relationship Council and Sogard would have. They were similar players if you look at their makeup. I think Council obviously was a better player when he was in his day. But I get it. I think Council has an affinity for Sogard, and he may have kind of put that ahead of winning this weekend. I don't really understand why Sogard got 3 starts. I get the concept, but he's hitting 100. 1 out of every 10 at bats he got a hit. He hadn't got a hit since, I think, the Cubs series, and he had some bad air. I mean, he missed the tag, and this is the second in Friday's game, and this is the second straight weekend where he's fucked something up on defense as well. It's just unacceptable. So yes, the Brewers are at an interesting impasse. I think it's everything's okay, but I'm not going to push the panic button if Kluber and Carrasco dominate them this week. But you gotta go to Colorado, where Colorado, anything can happen. And Chase Anderson's gonna be there throwing up gopher balls. I mean, the Brewers have a home run swing and they can play really well in Coors, but that's not easy. And then you go to the Arizona, and Arizona's definitely a tough place to play. And Arizona's been really good this year. So, and Minnesota's no slouch. So we've beat that to death. And we know that they have a tough schedule coming up. But the Brewers really do need to start showing something against some of these better teams. That my patience for how they're playing against these teams is wearing a little thin. All right, so we haven't really talked about hockey. It's mostly because I don't know shit about hockey. Like, I'm not going to pretend and tell you, like, I know exactly what's going on. Have I dabbled a little more in playoff hockey in the past few weeks, maybe last week? Yeah, and it's because I think the NBA kind of is getting a little boring, and it's not the NBA's fault. It's just the Rockets, Warriors, Celtics, Cavs are far superior than the teams they're playing, so the blowouts happen, like the Rockets last night. And I'm glad the Rockets did that, because I was able to fit in Billions and Westworld, because the Rockets blew them out. It wasn't a close game. I was like, I'm just going to flip it on, and if I missed a solid finish, I guess that's on me. But it didn't happen. I mean, the Rockets handled the Jazz from wire to wire. So the hockey thing is interesting because the Penguins and Capitals is a great series. I mean, it's a top 5, top 10 rivalry in sports right now. Teams hate each other. It's been mostly one-sided. Capitals can close out the Penguins. I don't know if that's tonight or tomorrow, but they can close them out right now. They're up 3-2. And then you have the Las Vegas Knights, who is an expansion team, who built this expansion team that nobody expected to be anything. They just expected it to be a run-of-the-mill expansion franchise where you lose a bunch of games. You get a top pick that kind of will revolutionize your team going forward. And instead, they drafted a bunch of misfits that have made it all the way to the Western Conference Finals. Vegas, if Winnipeg does close out Nashville, which they have a chance to tonight, if that happens, then then Vegas will have home ice for the Western Conference Finals. Vegas, Winnipeg is kind of a weird, kind of a weird finals to say the least. But that would be definitely intriguing. I think it's worth a watch. I think it's a ratings nightmare for Gary Bettman. But Las Vegas is interesting just from the fact that they're an expansion team. I mean, it's unheard of. It's kind of been an underreported story across the national landscape. And maybe it'll get more buzz if Nashville's involved, because Nashville is probably one of the more popular teams in the league. And then it's like the Bachelor Bowl, right? It's like the two most places most likely host Bachelor and Bachelorettes going off against each other. Two party cities. It would be a lot of fun. A Nashville-Las Vegas series would be way more fun than Winnipeg. I get Winnipeg has a crazy fan base and Winnipeg's a fun offense to watch, but I can't get as fired up as I could for Nashville-Vegas. I think Nashville-Vegas just has a good sound to it. If you had Winnipeg, Vegas, and then you had Washington, Pittsburgh, or Tampa Bay, I don't know. There's just not as much excitement there. I think you add the Nashville to the mix. But Winnipeg's a wagon, as they say in hockey. Winnipeg's a really good team, and they are definitely putting the Preds on the brink. So we'll see if that happens. But Vegas just has that. There is intrigue. There's just a casual interest. And I hope other like sports fans see this, because this is unheard of. I don't know if we'll ever see this again. And when those type of moments happen, crazy shit happens. But B, it's worth a channel flip or two, especially with the fact that we don't have much going on with the NBA right now. So keep a close eye on Vegas whenever that series does get underway. All right, talking a little TV. And if you are a Billions or Westworld fan and you did not watch Sunday's show, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Tap in the Keg will be on Thursday, so look forward to that, and we'll chat tomorrow. But if you did, let's have a conversation. So I thought Billions was as good as it's ever been yesterday. Like, I feel like Billions kind of hit their stride. I've been a big fan of Billions. I've put a lot of stock in Billions. I've told some friends, like, hey, this is a great show. You should be watching. Season 1 was a little cheesy, but Season 2 was awesome. It sort of built to this climax, got you all ready. And then Season 3 has been really good, and it's dipped a little bit. But, I mean, every show with 12 episodes, you can't be perfect. But, yeah, last week was really strong. This week's was even stronger, and the whole idea of setting up the doctor after they had already had the doctor setting up Bobby Axelrod was amazing. I mean, Chuck Rhodes and Bobby Axelrod teaming up is as unlikely as the Yankees and Red Sox coming together to like fight against like a dominant Korea baseball team or something. I guess you can't even use that reference because Korea's friends, but you get the picture. It's like Yankees and Red Sox fans coming together, or Cubs and Cardinals fans, or Ohio State and Michigan, like two huge rivals coming together to try to save each other's ass. It was incredible. And I think Wendy Rhodes is a top character in TV right now. I think Maggie Siff, the actress, deserves all the awards. She definitely deserves to be nominated for Best Supporting Actress. She was fantastic in this episode, seducing McPhee and getting him to take the bullet, take the plunge, and then Axelrod paying off McPhee, who looked kind of like, he's like, I don't know why I'm doing this for someone who's married. And she lays this huge kiss on him at the end, and it was such a power move. And that was a great way to end it. And then you have Vince Staples, Street Punks, as Axelrod's going into this party hosted by Wags, and there's women everywhere, and girls topless in a hot tub, and Wags, and Axelrod joins them, and he's kind of like, I almost thought he was dead. Like, I was like, oh my God. And I think what it was more like was like, am I really happy? Like, am I really satisfied with how my life is turning out right now? I'm glad I escaped, but I lost my wife. I lost my kids in the process. Is this really the life I want right now? And so I wonder if the last four episodes are going to be more about Axelrod trying to get back his relationship, and where does Brian Connerty go? Remember, Brian Connerty is good friends with the lawyer from lawyer on Axe Capital's side. Is Connerty just going to join the enemy per se and come along board? Because that would be fantastic. It'd be a great way, and like, it would that reignite the Bobby and Chuck rivalry? Is the Bobby and Chuck rivalry dead? Who knows? Is it going to be a Bobby and Taylor rivalry? I mean, I don't think. It'll be interesting to see if like a rivalry between Taylor and Bobby starts, because Taylor was unhappy with how Bobby treated McPhee in that situation. She knew something was up. She approached Wendy. She was like, kind of like, how dare you? And then she was looking, she was there when he was dropping bags to McPhee saying, hey, thanks for everything. See, they rub him the wrong way. Like, that just seemed to not really vibe with what Taylor was doing. Real quick on Westworld, I don't have a ton of Westworld takes, only because I think Westworld is too confusing for a simpleton like me to talk about. I know that some people are like, oh, wait, Westworld's hard for you to follow. Like, I follow what's going on. I follow that they tried to get Peter Abernathy's brain. I don't understand. It was very unrealistic to see the sort of stormtroopers storm the Civil War fort. Like, why didn't they just come from behind or a sneak attack? Like, it was terrible. Like, I love the move by Dolores to bring people in. The fact that she called herself Wyatt was interesting, considering that Teddy hates Wyatt, and we'll see if Teddy, like, actually goes along with what Dolores is doing, or there's going to be a riff. We've also got into Shogun World with the samurais. That happened at the very end of the episode. So we'll see if we are dealing with more samurais in the next episode. We had Westworld Jumanji going on early on. We don't know who that character is. Some people think it is the Men in Black, the Man in Black's daughter, which I'm all the way here for. Did not see any of the Man in Black. He seems to be back next week, teaming up with the Confederados. That'll be an interesting storyline to watch. And apparently, according to an Entertainment Weekly writer, says next week is apparently the best. So maybe we're talking Westworld first and Billions second. But it's a good time to do TV. I love the fact that this show Succession's coming out by HBO. I think it's going to be a banger. It seems like it's their response to Billions. It's a lot of fun that they're going to basically do a Billions-like show. More white-collar crimes for me. I'm all in for kind of sneaky white-collar families. That's fine. And definitely something that I'm looking forward to. The Affair comes back in June. I don't think there's a lot of cross between sports fans and The Affair, but I actually like The Affair. It was pretty wonky last year. I kind of forgot exactly what happened. I don't know if did I even finish it? I think I did, but a lot had happened, so I might need to go back and watch that again. It's kind of one of those shows where it's almost better to binge it, because it just sort of sucks you in and you just kind of keep watching. But yeah, so a lot on TV today. I was fired up about Billions. I'm glad I had an outlet to talk about it. And if you haven't watched Billions or Westworld and you're like, what the fuck did you just talk about for 6 minutes? Go and go check either one out on Showtime. I believe if you have an Amazon Prime account, you can get like Showtime access, watch that. Westworld, HBO Now is where you could do that if you want to binge Westworld. Although I admit that's a tough binge. You may want to kind of piece that out. But I got a roll. It is time to do the day job thing. So we will talk tomorrow, Tappers. Hopefully we'll have a few more topics. We'll see. Maybe some squad on takes. Maybe it's time to talk about flip-flops, because I have a take on flip-flops that needs to be heard. So all right, take care. Have a good Monday. We'll talk tomorrow. Later.